When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
On this week's Young Stock Podcast, I was delighted to talk to Robert Caroon, Education and Events Officer with AgriAware. Robert is a SETU graduate with a degree in land management. He's working full-time along with doing his master's in organic and biological agriculture. While balancing his part-time master's in organic and biological agriculture, he's working full-time in AgriAware along with relief milking for his customer base of farmers locally in Meath. It's a very busy time of the year for AgriAware as they set sail on their farm walk and talks, starting off with Donegal tomorrow. Hi Robert, thanks so much for coming on today's Young Stock Podcast.
Hi Sarah, how are you?
I'm great. You're on the road today?
En route to Donegal. We're getting ready for our first farm walk and talk event of 2024 with AgriAware. So we're on the road today taking all sorts of calls and meetings as we make our way up.
Great. And it's the first time you're going to Donegal for them as well, isn't it?
It is indeed. There was a high demand in Donegal from teachers in the, obviously, Donegal, Sligo, Mayo area for a farm walk and talk closer to them. So they called, we answered with the help of a farmer in Killay, just outside Newtown Cunningham. We're going to be able to host them in their home county this year, which is great. It's great to see farm walk and talk go from strength to strength.
Yeah, it's great to see it expanding. We'll come back around to farm walk and talk a bit later on. But Robert, for anyone who doesn't know who you are, do you want to maybe tell us what your role is and where your interest in agriculture started?
My role, I'm currently working for AgriAware. I started nearly a year ago. I'm an events and education officer, so that's basically my role. We can go into that a little bit more in a few minutes, but I suppose where my interest in agriculture stemmed from, we're from originally from a farmer background. My father grew up milking cows, spent a lot of his younger years milking cows and doing farm work at home. My grandfather and my father and my uncle were at home together in their early years. And then my father and my uncle kind of stayed together for a few years milking cows. And my father had health issues, etc. And that kind of kept him at home. But as time went on, he realized that, you know, there wasn't going to be a sustainable or viable living in the home farm for two families. So he went back to college in his early to mid-30s and became an accountant. So the interest for farming has always been there. Got an interest, I suppose, in dairy. I am very interested in dairy. I am from a very dear family friend of ours in Killinall. A lot of people maybe in their 40s and 50s might remember him when he was Mocker president from 1999 to 2001, Mr. TJ Maher. He kind of nurtured my interest in dairy and kind of showed me the ropes from a very young age. I can remember feeding cows whilst he was milking and helping him milk. I still go down to TJ and spend time with him and learn and take notes and ask questions as he would encourage you to do. And that's where that stemmed from. But I suppose when I was younger at home, my father wasn't involved in the farm and it was leased out. And my uncle gave up cows and it was leased out for a number of years. And then when I was in secondary school, my uncle actually got back into sheep. So I spent a good 2 years with my uncle at sheep and he was a fencing contractor and got a broader understanding of the industry, being in and out of other farms whilst he was on fencing jobs. And no, look, at my interest is always laid with dairy. And at 15, 16, I started milking for a local farmer. I did my ag science project with him from school. Obviously, on the sheep farm with my uncle, I did, you know, half of my project there and half of my project with a neighbouring dairy farm. That's kind of where the more hands-on with cows came. I would have always helped when I was down visiting TJ in Tipperary, but the more hands-on came when I was helping the neighbour and he relied on me to do weekend milkings, or if he was away or had a doctor's appointment, I was the first number he called. So that's where the responsibility came. And from that, a business grew. I started relief milking for other farmers once I got my licence at 17. I was travelling the length and breadth of the county of Meath, milking for different farmers and getting my name out there. As a result, when I did get to college, I had 7 or 8 farmers that I was milking for on a weekly basis. So I was busy. But yeah, from all of that, from being around sheep and dairy and having good role models from within the industry, I always kind of knew that agriculture was where I wanted to go. And that's how I ended up doing agriculture in college. And yeah, that's how I ended up where I am today.
It's great to have so many people in the industry that are willing to take people under their wings and show them the ropes, I suppose, especially for us non-direct farming backgrounds. You probably have a bit more farming in your background than me, but it just shows that there's so many opportunities out there. And for someone of such a young age as well to be doing that relief milk and kind of use it as your part-time work, like, did you know at the time how innovative that kind of was to be using it to get some money, or did you just do it for the pure love of it?
As any young person, you know, you have your social life on Saturday nights, and it didn't bother me that I was out Saturday nights late and I was getting up to milk. It never bothered me. You know, I always enjoyed milking. Now, obviously, there's some times of the year where it's a bit more testing than others. You remember for the good mornings, there's genuinely nothing I enjoy more than getting up early on a Saturday or Sunday morning. And if it's kind of around late April, early May, and the weather is good and you get a really nice, crisp summer or late spring morning, it's refreshing, you know, it lifts the soul and it kind of, it keeps you going and it reminds you why you do it and why you love it, because there's certainly other times of the year and certainly during poor weather, it would test you. But yeah, no, I don't think I realised that it was anyway different, you know.
Yeah.
I had other friends that were doing similar. A lot of people kind of from the farming background go and drive tractors for contractors and stuff like that. Milking wouldn't be the first option for a young person because it does kind of refrain you from having your full potential social life, I suppose. I enjoyed it, and it relief milking is what helped me pay my way in college. It paid for all the pints and the chicken fillet rolls and
on the way to the milking and on the way home to the chipper or whatever.
Well, there was certainly some Sunday mornings you might have had 2 or 3 milkings and maybe you've been out the night before and you certainly were craving for some fast food or greasy food when you're on the way home.
Yeah.
But it was great. And like that, you build up a reputation there with a few farmers and they trust you and you trust them. You know, they look out for you, they pay you, they make sure that everything is in order. And if you're ever in need of anything, you know, want to lend of any machinery or anything like that, it works both ways and they always give you a dig out whenever you need it. And they proved to be a massive asset to me when I was doing my thesis for my level 8.
Definitely, like, it's really important to note to drink responsibly, obviously, but also it's great to have that income coming in. And as a teenager and as a young person living in a more rural part of Ireland, to get it from that stream is fantastic. And then Robert, like, why did you decide on WIT at the time, SETU now? Like, why did you decide on the course you did at the time? Can you remember doing your Leaving Cert and knowing that was the course for you, or how did it come about?
To tie in with the fact that I was milking cows from a young age and out and about helping my uncle with sheep and fencing, Leaving Cert wasn't actually a priority for me. And looking back in it, I probably should have applied myself more. And any students that I kind of come across now doing a Leaving Cert, I always kind of tell them to apply themselves more than I did anyways. Leaving Cert, it came and went, as they say, for me. And I was more inclined to go milking in the morning before an exam and rush home to go and milk again. Or I was away with my uncle doing fencing jobs and helping him. But
I'm sure you're not the only one, Robert. Don't be worrying. I'm sure loads of our listeners feel the same.
not just academic wasn't my thing, but the structure of school and being tied into a place, certainly during the summer months, sitting doing a leaving cert exam just was not on my mind. But look, as I sat my leaving cert, for someone who didn't apply themselves, I got a, you know, an okay, I got a good leaving cert for someone who didn't apply themselves. I classify it as a mediocre leaving cert. for what I was capable of doing, I should have achieved more. But look, as ag science was always a love of mine, I threw my heart and soul into my leaving cert project, and it was the only, it and construction were the only two subjects I genuinely loved. I kind of knew then from school that agriculture was what I wanted to do, but coming out of those exams, I was convinced that I definitely failed at two or three, and I was kind of preempting my parents. I was like, oh, I don't think they went so well, but when the results came out, I didn't fail any, and I got a couple of H2s in my
Jeez, for a man who didn't study now, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so it was kind of a lot of luck. But yeah, no, I knew I wanted to do agriculture, some description. And for me, I learn from more hands-on rather than theory. And at the time, from speaking to other people, I knew UCD was quite theory heavy for the first 2 years. And also the fact that we're only an hour away from Dublin, I didn't really want to be at home the whole time.
Yeah, as much as I love helping out, spread your wings.
Yeah, as much as I love being at home helping out with my uncle and being there to milk and do stuff for other lads, I knew it wasn't. I needed to get away, and Waterford seemed a good fit. Like I was, as I say, I was with more of my own people. People who were in a similar position to me, and I was obviously closer to Tipperary. Tipperary has become a beloved favourite of mine because of the Mars and how they look after me. But I was down south, and I not that I feel at home, but I feel more familiar with those kind of with the southern hospitality that you get down in Kilkenny and Waterford and Tipperary and Cork. You know, real strong farming households down there, and you get well looked after, and that's, I just felt at home down there, and going to Waterford was the closest thing to kind of ticking all the boxes for me. I was getting the practical element from straight on. I was out in Kildalton 4 days a week in first year, and this is the level 7. Like I actually never thought I'd do a level 8, but I applied for the level 7 in agriculture in WIT, and we went on as a class group, and the class group gelled very well. We got on really, really well, and in fairness, there's some great lifelong friends made there. And we all did the level 7. We all got through it. Did all the practical stuff, and we did the theory, and we got to the end of the third year in the level 7 agriculture, and there was a kind of an unspoken general consensus that everyone was going to do in the level 8.
Yeah, you didn't want to leave each other just yet.
Yeah, like everyone wanted to kind of get that level 8 out, but for the sake of another year, and we were in each other's company, we all knew each other very well, we all got on very well, and we kind of knew the lie of the land between Waterford and Kildalton, and we said we might as well stick it out for another year. You know, you look back later on in life and say, why didn't I do it?
Yeah, exactly. So
we did the level 8, and I actually never thought I'd pass the level 7 when I started it, but I did and got on well and went and did the level 8. I thought I'd never pass it, it'll be just another year with all the lads from college, but passed the level 8 and really enjoyed it. And subsequently, a good lecturer down in C2, as is now known, John Geraghty, he was in the progress of, or in the process of setting up a master's program down in C2, and he'd been encouraging us as level 8 students at the time to think about, you know, signing up for it. And when you're with your friends, you kind of might be a bit more reluctant, and I was. And towards the end of that final year, I was kind of starting to think a bit more, and my father would be very education focused, and he kind of said, well, why don't you do it? You'll regret not doing it. Sure, throw your name in and see what happens. And that's what I did. And John Geraghty, in fairness to him, he was encouraging too. He was always kind of telling us and encouraging us to do it and that it was on a part-time basis, that it would suit us. And in fairness, it's great. Like, and I'm done 18 months out of a 2-year master's now.
Hard to believe, I'd say.
Yeah, it is, genuinely. Like, when I started the Masters, I told myself I wouldn't pass it either. But so I've gotten this far anyways, and I've deferred my dissertation or my thesis just to kind of get over the hump of all the work that we have on at the minute in AgriWare and what we're doing at home, setting ourselves up back into farming again. So keep getting on with the masters and get that paper, hopefully. Now, I still tell myself I won't pass, but if I've gotten
Now there shouldn't be a doubt in your mind if you've have to pass all the other exams in the years that you didn't think you would. But how was the part-time masters? Because I know you were working all along. You came in here, you were working for the Farmers Journal in the marketing team for a while as well. Like, was that part of the benefits of doing the part-time masters that allowed you to work and get a bit of an industry side of things as well?
It's a funny story. The very day that I got accepted into the master's program was the exact same day I actually secured a job with the Farmers Journal on the marketing team. I can remember it vividly. It was a scorching hot summer's day at home. I was actually out in the digger doing some groundwork. So we were getting ready to build a shed. And I got a phone call from the agency that I got the job with the Farmers Journal through. And they said that I got the job and that was perfect. And I got in two emails from John Geraghty down at Seats saying that I'd been accepted to the program. So it was a day of big news, I suppose, for me. And look, and I didn't know what to expect at the time. I was starting a new job. I was starting a new program in college or further education. And it was challenging. As we would know, that the Farmers Journal operate a hybrid system and a hybrid work system, I suppose, where you're in office 2 or 3 days a week and the other days you can work from home. And that was a major consolation to me, that I'd be able to save that time driving to and from the office and do a bit more master's work. And in fairness, the master's program is operated in the evenings between 7 and 10 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you have your lectures during those times, and any of the farm walks or any visits we have to different facilities, they're done on Saturdays and kind of during college midterms, so that we would have use of the college facilities without disturbing or interrupting the timetable for level 8 and level 7 students. It kind of went hand in hand. And look, at the master's program is super, that you get an insight into different things. I actually forgot to mention the master's I'm doing is in organic and biological agriculture, which was completely unknown to me. And there's really good operators that are working really hard in the background that you never see. They don't go in search of any limelight. They don't discuss what they're doing. They just stick their head down and work. And we get exposed to those systems and those people and get to get an insight to their knowledge. And the master's program has been super that way. Really, really good. Yeah, it works well with work. You know, you're out in the road with the master's. And then I was very fortunate that although I was on the marketing team on the customer service side of things, I was very, very fortunate there to be on the road at different events. And as we would know, Mr. David O'Connor there would work very closely with the colleges. I got to go on the road with David to all the colleges, encouraging students to avail of the free Farmers Journal for third level students, the online subscription. And it was great to get on the road. And that was one side of the Farmers Journal I really, really loved, was getting out meeting people and being at the events, like the CAP meetings, the nitrate meetings that were run. They were an insight to me, but you get talking to different farmers and you get a different perspective on things.
And that part for us is so important as well. And thanks for the plug there for the free college subscriptions. If anyone's listening, log on and get your own. But Robert, you very quickly then moved into AgriWare and your role now. Do you want to talk us briefly through kind of what you're involved in and the busy 2 weeks or 3 weeks ahead for AgriWare this week?
It was last March, early April, I made the transition from top floor in the Irish Farm Centre to the second floor.
Big move.
I went from the Farmers, big move, only one flight of stairs, but I went from the Farmers Journal to AgriWare. And AgriWare it's a constantly moving organisation. There's an awful lot of moving parts within, and there's an awful lot of projects and different things happening at the same time. As I say, with anything in life, it's either a feast or famine. Yeah. And certainly with AgriWare, it's a feast for different things going on.
Sure, I did my 8 months of PWE there as well. And I have to say, the exposure to all different aspects of the industry that you get there, like, you're doing a lot of work for a short number of team and a small team too.
Yeah, we're a very small, tight-knit team. And like you said, you get great exposure to the greater industry. Like, our board member consists of some well-known names within the industry and people who have achieved an awful lot within their time or their working careers. And it's great to get to meet them every so often and to hear their opinions and for them to kind of share their knowledge on different topics. And like that with events, you get to go out and meet them. Like, we've some great people from UCD and from Chagas, like we've Anne-Marie Butler and we've Karina Pierce on our board, and it's great to have them on our team and to engage with them about different events as we hope to do over the coming weeks with our Farm Walk and Talk series, which is all about getting secondary level ag science students out onto Chagas farms to build on the theory they learn in class by getting exposure to the practical side of it and to industry experts and to gain a bit more from their knowledge. Yeah, AgriWare is constantly moving, and we're back in the farm safety space. We're just after launching our Safe Farm Futures program. We have a new member of the team there, Ashley Trainor. She hails from Ballyburn in County Cavan. She's our farm safety officer and executive, and she's going to be going around to schools, teaching schools, well, more so rural schools where there is children that would be, you know, exposed to farm dangers. She'll be highlighting the dangers to them and giving them a bit more knowledge to have in their bank when they are around farm machinery and farm animals.
I think the educational aspect now is so important, and bridging that gap between producers, consumers, and especially young people as well, so that everyone knows where their food comes from on a basic level at least.
Oh yeah, super. Like, it's so important. AgriWare was founded in 1996 off the back of the BSE crisis. It is the educational body for agriculture. Now, of course, we kind of fill in the primary and secondary level education spaces more so than general consumers, but we're in attendance at the Ploughing Championships, Bloom, Flavours of Fingal, and many more shows where we're there to engage with consumers and answer any queries they have about Irish agriculture. Just to give a brief background on the team, like, we've our director, Marcus O'Halloran, who hails from a dairy and beef farm in Tipperary. We have our comms man, Michael Geary. He hails from a sheep and beef background on the Galway-Roscommon border. We have our general manager, Amy Gray, who has a degree in environmental science. She covers the sustainability and the biodiversity side of agriculture. We have another education officer there, Roisin Byrne. She covers kind of the horticulture side, and she works very close with Lidl. But Roisin actually spent an awful lot of time doing trials on grains in either OPAC or Johnstown Castle. I think it was OPAC, actually, yeah. And then we've Ashley Trainor, who's just joined the team, and she hails from a farm in County Cavan. Like, we've a great team there with a great depth of knowledge on the industry. And like, every day is a school day, no matter what profession you're in. But
yeah,
with that, we have great knowledge on the team to kind of educate both the younger generations, but also consumers. And it's great that we have the likes of myself, Michael, Marcus, and now Ashley, who are exposed to farms every day. And would be working on farms on a regular basis,
yeah,
that we know what actually happens. And that's a big help too, to actually engage with farmers, because farmers feel sometimes a little bit let down that, you know, the general perception of their industry is bad. You know, the bad news stories tend to spread quicker than good news stories. And certainly within agriculture, trying to share the message to consumers that all the work that's been done is in favour of producing more sustainable, environmentally friendly food. Like, and farmers feel frustrated that message isn't being relayed to the consumer. And that's where we have to fill that gap and try and engage with them. And because we've such a good team there, it certainly helps that we can engage with both consumers and farmers.
Definitely. Well said, Robert. I think I'll be at the Tullamore Farm on Thursday. I know that's when AgriWare and Farmers Journal will combine and welcome 400 students or over 400 students to the Farmers Journal Beef and Sheep Tullamore Farm. But what other locations are you going to now over the next few days, Robert?
We're kicking it off this year in Donegal, as I mentioned earlier. You know, we heard the call, and we've answered to the teachers in the Northwest region. So we're hosting our first ever Farm Walk and Talk event for Donegal this year. So that's tomorrow. We're on our way up there today to get ready for it. Then the following day, we're in Gertine. As you mentioned there, the day after that, we're with yourselves on Tullamore Farm with the Farmers Journal team. After that, we've Clonakilty, we've Palaskenry, we've 2 days in Mount Bellew. We have UCD Lions Estate with Ballyhale, Grange, and in the final week we have Moor Park and 2 days in Kildalton, which should be familiar to me anyway. So
nice, yeah, finish like, up there.
Yeah, we've a busy four weeks ahead of us. And look, it's exciting. It's busy. It's frantic. There's an awful lot of things happening. Look at it. It's going to be great. Engaging with teachers, with Chagas staff, with Farmers Journal staff, and all the different patrons we have involved with the program. We always kind of try to encourage patrons to get involved so that they can actually share their side of the industry and share their knowledge with students too.
Yeah, listen, I'm really looking forward to seeing all the students on Tullamore on Thursday, and I think it's something like over 4,000 students you're expecting to come through the gates of those farms over the next 4 weeks. So the very best of luck to all of you in providing that. Are registrations closed by now, Robert, or are there some still open?
There possibly might be for a couple of the venues. I know another colleague of mine who I failed to mention and who has a degree in zoology, Dylan Rogers, he works in the office there and keeps us all on our toes with different bits and pieces going on. So Dylan is there in the office and he can take any of the calls the teachers might have, but I'm not quite sure if we have any places left. It's quite busy 4 weeks and teachers generally kind of keep an eye out for this event and always try and book in. But look, if in doubt, definitely give
check
a call
it out.
And ask. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, yeah. We'll move on to the quickfire round, Robert, because we couldn't let you go without doing the quickfire round. Chicken roll or breakfast roll?
Chicken roll.
Spitting logs or foot and turf?
Spitting logs.
Herringbone or rotary?
Oh, herringbone.
And would you be a ploughing or electric picnic man?
Definitely a ploughing man. Definitely.
And I'll give you one final one. Would you be boots or wellies?
Oh, probably wellies.
I've seen you in the brown boots a good few times around the office now.
Oh, they're just not acceptable in an office space.
Listen, very best of luck, Robert. Thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And best luck. Any student heading to the farm walk and talks, make sure you have your questions ready for your experts. It's a very educational day and an essential one in the diary. So best luck to all in AgriAware over the next few weeks.
Super. Thanks a million, Sarah.
Well, folks, that's all we have time for on this week's Young Stock podcast. It was great to hear Robert's story and where his interest in agriculture came from. We're heading to the Tullamore Beef and Sheep Farm on Thursday for AgriWare and the Farmers Journal Farm Walk and Talk. I'll be there doing a career stand. If any of you have any questions, don't be afraid to come on up and ask. We're currently looking for young people across Ireland to interview on the podcast. If you know someone who's under the age of 35 that has an interesting story, career or experience that you want to share, then send on their name and get in touch with the Young Farmers Journal team. We want to give a voice to young people across rural Ireland. What issues are currently bothering you? Get in touch by emailing youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 83 66 465.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.